Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with high desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
I am so excited for this guest that we have here today. This is an issue that is just impacting us in ways that,
really,
I can't.
No other.
And
we're happy to finally, because I know with schedules, we are able to give our public this great information. Finally.
Yes. And so I want to just dive in because we're going to dedicate today's show fully to the issue of fentanyl. And we have Dr. Michael Sequeira, who is the public health officer for San Bernardino County, with us today. He's very familiar with the high desert as he worked as the emergency room director for Providence St. Mary here. So he knows us. His career has been dedicated to the health and well-being of people. And I can think of nobody who's better informed and more compassionate and passionate than Dr. Sequeira. So welcome to the show, Dr. Sequeira. Thank you for making time to be with us this morning. I'm just really, really excited to have you share with us kind of an update or provide us an update of where things are with regard to fentanyl here in San Bernardino County region.
Well, thank you, Regina, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to everybody and you about this and just get in a pitch for you how much we appreciate you and in terms of you. You've always been a very outspoken advocate for the people and community of the high desert. And that means a lot to us because the high desert is a very special and important area for us.
Absolutely. Thank you, doctor. So kind of give us an overview on what's happening now with fentanyl, and especially here, what are we seeing in San Bernardino? What's really kind of tracking? What do we need to know?
Well, I'd like to just basically start out with what fentanyl actually is, and it is it's a chemically manufactured drug, and it's an opioid, and the opioids we all are familiar with the opioid painkillers like morphine and
yes.
codeine and things, but fentanyl is manufactured. There's two types: pharmaceutical and illicitly manufactured fentanyl, which is the how the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, calls it. These illegally manufactured fentanyls. Fentanyl is 50 to 100 times stronger than heroin.
Oh my
so,
God!
So it's amazing how powerful it is. And what's happened is fentanyl has virtually completely displaced what used to be heroin, and it's being put into almost every illegal pill and drug that's on the street right now. So what's happened is people think that they're either taking morphine or heroin or even these pills that look like OxyContin.
Okay.
They're called M30s. They look like sweet tarts. They look like sweet tarts, and they're geared to be attractive to the younger people. And instead of oxycodone, which is in OxyContin, there's fentanyl. And so it's 50 to 100 times stronger, and it's now being available to not only people who are chronically addicted to opioids, but it's to the younger people. Who are basically joy seeking. They're just experimenting with medicines. They just want to get a little high, and they're getting these pills. And they're instead of OxyContin or Xanax, it's fentanyl, and it's killing people. It's killing our kids. Uh, it's in our children's death review, it accounts. It is the age 15 to 18 age group. It is the number one killer of our teenagers right now.
Wow!
And it's a very serious problem. And the tough thing, Regina, is it's not just in people who are chronically addicted. It's these deaths or overdoses are happening in our kids who are in high school and who aren't addicted to opioids. They're just joy seeking or they're you know, experimenting with drugs. So
right, Doctor. Let me ask you a question really quickly with regard to that, because you're talking about how powerful this is. Now, is it true that just one dose of this causes that or triggers that addiction? Is that true?
Yes, it's very true, especially in people who don't have a tolerance to it. And we've actually coined that phrase, one pill can kill. We need to get the message out, and that's why I so welcome an opportunity like that you guys have given me to just spread the word. We're trying to get the word out to our schools, to our younger population, to our entire population. Just one pill in someone who doesn't have tolerance can kill someone.
And another question I want to ask you, Doctor. You know, it has been stated or said that if you touch it, you know, if it's in some kind of powder form or you touch it or you inhale it, that, for example, law enforcement, if they come across someone who is in that overdose state and, you know, they either inhale or they touch the substance, that could be lethal. Is that, in fact, true?
It's partially true, but mostly not, Regina. If you touch it, usually the skin barrier that protects our skin from losing moisture is a fairly effective barrier to absorption. But if if you have a lot of sores from eczema or cracked skin, and you touch this and the barrier to your skin is broken, you can absorb enough that it can be toxic. Yes. The other thing is inhaling. If it's aerosolized enough so that you can actually see it and smell it, then yes, it's like cocaine. If you snort it, the lining of the nose and mouth, what we call the epithelium, is terrifically well supplied by blood vessels. So you can, if you get enough in there, and through the nose or through the mouth, you can absorb enough that it can be toxic as well. So not to that completely make people paranoid. We do reassure our officers that as long as they take reasonable precautions in terms of gloves and a mask, then they're going to be very safe. And even without those, it's still difficult to get a significantly toxic dose. But if in doubt, be careful.
And then, Doctor, I want to talk a little bit about, because we've heard recently that all of us, and especially if we've got kids in our house, we should have Narcan and we should know how to distribute it or to use it in case we come across somebody who is overdosing, right? So what can you tell us about that in terms of, is that, should we be concerned and should we all kind of have some knowledge of that and possibly have the Narcan ourselves? And then also, there's a second part to that question. If the overdose is not fentanyl, does the Narcan, what kind of effect will it have on the person?
Yeah, just to answer the latter question real quickly, Narcan in someone who hasn't had an opioid or isn't addicted to opioids and high on opioids is completely non-toxic. It's not going to hurt you, and
okay,
it's not going to hurt other overdoses. But yes, I would. What we're trying to get the message out is that everyone who's exposed basically to people who have who use medications regularly that include opioids or that can be exposed to it, people who have children or loved ones in the family or friends who have a chronic drug problem, anyone who takes medications that are illegally available on the streets, all of that could be fentanyl. Many times you may be walking across the street and see someone lying on the ground. If they're unconscious, it could be a fentanyl overdose. And if you have the Narcan on you, you can actually save a life very quickly and easily with the Narcan. So if you'd like, I can briefly tell you what a fentanyl overdose would look like.
Absolutely. Please share with us.
Yeah, because, you know, I was just on a conference with the other health officers of California and the Surgeon General, and the Surgeon General actually mentioned, you know, if you take CPR, we all take CPR to help people that might have had a sudden cardiac death.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the chances are, if you had Narcan, it would actually probably be much more likely that you would encounter someone who could benefit from the Narcan over someone who's had sudden death from that requires CPR. So it's that frequent now.
Wow.
So someone who, and what happens with fentanyl, as with all opioids, is it really depresses your level of consciousness. So the first thing that happens is it just makes you sleepy. And an overdose is going to make you unconscious. So what you're going to see is someone who's unconscious. And basically, if you just rub their your knuckles against their chest bone, their sternum, or even just try to gently slap them to wake them up, they won't be conscious. And people with fentanyl overdoses, fentanyl kills by suppressing or stopping our breathing center, so it stops our breathing.
Okay.
So they'll probably be blue because.
Okay.
When you stop breathing, you lose oxygen and you'll turn blue. People will be having a real irregular kind of snoring kind of respiration. So they'll be very infrequent and irregular. And the last thing, so there's depressed level of consciousness, depressed breathing, and the last is if you happen to just open them and close your eyes, Their pupils will be very, very small.
Okay.
And pinpoint, we call them, less than a millimeter. And anyone else who basically is unconscious is not going to have pinpoint pupils. So you have those three things. That person probably having a fentanyl overdose. And at that point, it's a respiratory death. You call 911 first. And then if you had Narcan, you could just basically turn them on their side so they won't aspirate. And then you take the Narcan, and it's like a nasal spray, like Afrin. You just insert it into the nostril, and you squirt it twice. And you can insert it in the other nostril and squirt it twice. And that's basically all you do, and you can actually save a life just with that. The important thing is to turn them on their side and call 911 because some people may require more, and it could be, of course, something other than fentanyl that's causing the coma. So,
okay, doctor, that's great information. Now, one of the things I did want to ask is, what resources are available, especially at the county level, to help us as community and individuals to become more educated and more aware, and also to access, like if we want to get the Narcan, if we want to learn how to administer it properly, those type of things. Are there resources and services provided through the county to help us do that?
Yes, there are, and I appreciate that, Regina. As usual, we do have we have found and organized under the Department of Behavioral Health, what we call the Inland Empire Opioid Crisis Coalition, IEOC. And basically, if you contact them or public health or the Department of Behavioral Health, all of those, we will be able to help you get Narcan. So the number for public health is 1-800-782-4000. 1-800-782-4264. 1-800-782-4264. And so we will be able to, we've got a whole division of health education specialists who can go out. If you have an organization, they will be able to teach you how to recognize opioid overdoses. They will be able to teach you how to use naloxone, and we should be, and they would be able to provide naloxone at the same time. So,
oh, that's wonderful, doctor. So, just to make sure I have this right, if anyone who is listening wants to get more information or be better directed to the resources that are available, that number is 1-800-782-4264.
That's correct. And one other number, the Substance Use Disorder Helpline for the Department of Behavioral Health is 1-800-968-2636. That's 1-800-968-2636. So,
Doctor, thank you. Those are wonderful resources. And let me ask you this, as I know we could talk about this for hours, but let me ask you, I guess, lastly, what can we do as community to help this fight against fentanyl and opioids? What can we do?
Actually, almost anything you do can help, but the best way to get this out is to be able to get community organizations or groups together, whether it be by school, by religious, you know, by your church community,
or faith-based.
Faith-based. To let us know, and we'd be and give us a call, and we'll go out and meet with people and teach them and spread the naloxone. We'd love to be able to do that.
And, okay.
You know, it's really difficult, especially in the high desert, because everything's so spread out. So
yes.
We've really got to focus on the concentrations and the centers that are able to reach out and to our patients out there.
Yes. Well, doctor, I want to thank you for spending this time with us. I think this has been just invaluable information for us. I want to also invite you to come back periodically and give us an update and use us as a resource to get the word out to community. So however we can help be a part of that, we definitely want to be a part of that, because part of our goal is to help inform and make aware our community of resources and services that are going to help us be healthy and well, right?
Absolutely. I'm always available to you, and I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to share all this with your listeners.
Well, we thank you for your wealth of knowledge. We thank you for your commitment and your continued commitment to the high desert. And I will be reaching out to you again, I am certain, so that we can continue to address this issue until it becomes a non-issue.
I really appreciate that, Regina. And I wanted to thank you again for all that you do for the people of the high desert and for the county of San Bernardino.
Well, thank you, doctor. Have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you. You too. All of you.
Hey there, it's Roxanne Scafidi, and it's time to take a look at our community calendar as we enter fall in the high desert. Coming up this Saturday, September 28th, the San Bernardino County Tri-Community Residents Household Hazardous Waste Collection is taking place up in Wrightwood on Highway 2, 1450 Highway 2. They will be accepting antifreeze, household batteries, fluorescent tubes, household cleaners, and much more. The City of Hesperia will be having their e-waste recycling event on October 5th and 6th. You can recycle your old or unwanted electronics at 9700 7th Avenue in Hesperia from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. On October 5th, you can join the City of Victorville's Fall Festival, the largest street fair experience in the high desert. Live music, craft and food vendors, kids' rides and activities, and much more. It's all happening from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. in front of City Hall in the City of Victorville. And on October 19th, there will be a quilt show and craft sale happening from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. free admission at Living Hope Church at 9280 Maple Avenue in Hesperia. For more events and information, you can always check out our station's Facebook pages and our community calendars. Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@roxanneScafidi.com. edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high deserts, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.